The game is over. Your Bucks postgame show starts now. Welcome to Bucks Talk. Insight, analysis, and your chance to sound off on the game you just heard. Now to break it all down, here's your host, Justin Garcia.
All right, the Bucks lose tonight to the Oklahoma City Thunder, but this was one of those games that I don't think you're so much hung up on the result of this game, especially knowing you're once again playing without Giannis, and we know that will be the case again on Sunday. You also played without Damian Lillard, who landed on the injury report with adductor soreness. It's the second or third time we've seen that on the injury report for Dame. But as Doc Rivers said, it was more precautionary than anything else. And you monitored the minutes of Chris Middleton, Brooke Lopez, and Bobby Portis. So it was a very, very shorthanded team. I'm not saying the Bucks didn't have anything to play for. The Thunder also had something to play for, however. And as we noted, the Thunder, with this win and help from the Denver Nuggets, who lose to the San Antonio Spurs, the Oklahoma City Thunder now find themselves atop the Western Conference, but it sets up an ultimate scenario or scenarios Sunday in Orlando. Where the Bucks finish is still to be determined. We know they will have home court advantage in the first round. It'll be second, third, or fourth. Who they face, again, to be determined. But after tonight's results, there was still a very slim chance that you could have faced the Cavaliers in the first round of the playoffs, that you could have even faced the New York Knicks. Those scenarios are now gone. So we know it is going to be either the Magic, the Pacers, the 76ers, or the Miami Heat. Those will be, or that will be, who the Bucks play. One of those four teams. So that opens the door for how do you handle Sunday. 800-990-3776 is the number to join us tonight on Bucks Talk. And again, it is a noon tip-off in Orlando. All 30 teams played tonight. All 30 teams play Sunday. There are no games tomorrow. You cannot do any scoreboard watching. And we heard from Doc Rivers before the game. We didn't plan on doing it anyway. We're more focused on, number one, staying healthy, getting right, being in a good spot. But there are so many scenarios in play. Again, it could be any of those four opponents. It could be any of those three seed lines. And I think it ultimately boils down to what do you view as worst case scenario in terms of your matchups. I've said for the longest time, to me, where the Bucks finish, it's not all that important when the conversation was two versus three or the two seed more specifically. And I long maintained, I don't think that is important. I think what is important is that you don't finish fourth, because that would mean the Boston Celtics, in all likelihood, the Boston Celtics in the second round. You do have to approach the postseason with the assumption of, look, the Celtics have been running away with the league. They're 63-18. They're 36-4 at home. You know you're going to have to go into Boston and beat them. It doesn't mean you want to do it sooner than you have to. But I think the events of what took place a couple of days ago started to change a lot of that and readjust how we view this. And we've heard Doc Rivers maintain all along, the two seed's important to us. We want the two seed. We're going for the two seed. But I think, given you still don't know what the status of Giannis is going to be, we know he's not playing Sunday. We don't know if Giannis is going to be available for the start of the playoffs. We don't know if Giannis is going to play at all in the first round. If you get to the second round, we don't know if Giannis is going to be available in that. It all remains unclear. And I think that has started to shift how you view this. Is the four seed all that bad if you're guaranteed to avoid a red-hot 76ers team who have currently won seven straight games? That is the longest win streak in the league, and they are now knocking on the door of getting out of the play-in tournament. I don't think it would be the worst thing in the world to avoid Philadelphia, especially if you're going to play at the very least part of that series without Giannis. And we've long said, if you surveyed Bucks fans and said, who do you want in the first round? The majority of you would say either the Orlando Magic, or given the choices of those four teams, the Orlando Magic or the Indiana Pacers. Right? You're scared off by the Miami Heat because of what they did to you, not only last year, in the bubble, in the Bucks in 6 year. Eric Spoelstra and some of the defenses that he has diagrammed against Giannis and the Bucks. Jimmy Butler and what he's done against the Bucks throughout the postseason, not just last year, again in 2020 as well. There's the looming threat of Joel Embiid and how he's looked, and we saw an interesting part from that game tonight we'll get to in a moment. But that is a team that it appears is starting to find themselves. We had the same conversation last year. And maybe some of it was just coping with a team trying to grasp what just happened. A one seed with Giannis in his prime losing in the first round of the playoffs and losing in five games. But I think we all tried to cope with it and pointed out, well, I mean, the Miami Heat are not really an eight seed. Any other year, that's not an eight seed. And there's a little bit of validity to that. The Philadelphia 76ers are not a seventh seed. They are not an eighth seed. This is a team that in all likelihood, if Joel Embiid does not get injured, the 76ers are a two or a three seed. And that is the real looming danger of having that as your first round opponent. So it presents a number of scenarios in play for Saturday. And again, it all ties together because all teams are playing on Sunday. And the Bucks are playing one of two games where both teams are in the postseason and both teams still have some seeding on the line. 800-990-3776, the number to join us tonight on Bucks Talk. We'll go through those scenarios and again, get your thoughts. How do you approach Sunday? Because I think there's one relatively easy answer, but is it all that easy? I'll explain what I mean after this on Bucks Talk.
Welcome back to Bucks Talk.
Like, if we win, that doesn't mean we're going to win the title. If we lose, that doesn't mean we're going to lose the title. You know, once game one, can you remember game 82nd last year? Yeah, that's my point. So, game one is really important. but I would like to win. I would like to go win in Orlando and so we decide what we want to be, you know. That's about it.
Game 82 last year, by the way, was in Toronto, and the Bucks lost. The Bucks also lost their second to last game of the season last year. That was at home, though, to the Memphis Grizzlies. The year prior to that, game 82 was in Cleveland. And if I recall, that was the game where Drew Holiday started and played all of 4 seconds to obtain his bonus. The Bucks also lost that game, the final game of the regular season. The year that the Bucks won the championship in 2021, they also lost the last game of the regular season to the Chicago Bulls. The year prior to that, and granted this was in the bubble, the Bucks lost the last game of the regular season to the Memphis Grizzlies. The year prior to that, the Bucks lost the last game of the regular season to the Oklahoma City Thunder. That was in the 18-19 season, Mike Budenholz's first. The year before that, the Bucks lost the last game of the regular season to the Philadelphia 76ers. That was when Joe Prunty was the interim coach. They lost the last game of the regular season as well in 2017 in Boston against the Celtics. They lost the last game of the regular season in 2016. That game was played at home against the Indiana Pacers. They lost the last game of the regular season again in 2015 to the Boston Celtics. It's become a trend for the Bucks. They obviously lost the last game of the regular season the year prior to that. That was a home game against the Atlanta Hawks, and I say obviously because that was the 2013-14 season when the Bucks won a grand total of 15 games. The last time the Bucks won their final game of the regular season was in 2013. It has been 11 years since the Bucks last won their final regular season game. They made the playoffs that year, and I mentioned the history with the Miami Heat. The trepidation that would exist because of what happened last year when you were the one seed and Miami embarrassed you and beat you in five games. Because 3 years prior to that, in the bubble, that aforementioned bubble season, again, you were the one seed and Miami beat you in five games as a five seed. The other time the Miami Heat beat you in the first round of the playoffs was the last time the Bucks won their final regular season game, and that was in 2013. And that was the year and series that gave us Brandon Jennings' infamous remarks of Bucks in six. It has been that long. It has been over a decade. Now, just listening to those comments by Doc Rivers, I don't know that it tells you one way or another what the Bucks' plan is going to be. I suppose you could dissect that and say, you know, the way I kind of read that is they're not really going to play to win that game. Maybe they recognize, look, if we don't have Giannis, even if we don't have Giannis for just one or two games, the threat of the 76ers, the threat of Joel Embiid, not having Giannis and that physicality and somebody, not necessarily to defend Joel Embiid, but to counteract Joel Embiid, that could pose some big problems for us. The four options in the postseason for the Bucks, in the first round, I should say, are the Magic. No disrespect. I think you would be fine with that. We saw him up close. You're going to see him again. And it would be very, very interesting if you played the Magic two of your final three regular season games, and then you played him immediately in a best of seven series in the first round. But I think most, if not all, Bucks fans would say, you know what, I'd be fine with the Orlando Magic. There's some talent there. You did not see Franz Wagner, but you saw what Paolo Banchero can do. Jalen Suggs is, you know, the one of the emerging better young players because of his defense. Jamal Mosley is a very, very good young head coach with some Milwaukee ties. It's a talented team. What they do lack is scoring and experience. And I think what the Bucks have is scoring and experience. So you would be fine drawing the Orlando Magic. I think you would be fine drawing the Indiana Pacers, especially considering the alternate. But again, any hesitation over, well, Indiana won four out of five games. I get that. They were both very different teams. Pacers are a different team now than they were in those five matchups. And remember, all five of those happened before January 4th. January 3rd was the last time you played the Pacers. Adrian Griffin was still your head coach. You've got a different coach. We've seen some changes with the offense and Damian Lillard. We've seen more structure. We've seen the Bucks clean up. I'm not going to say they're elite, but they've cleaned up the areas where the Pacers gave them the most problems. Running on makes, just running period, fast break, shooting, the way they spread the ball, the floor out. And it's also worth noting, I know Tyrese Halliburton just had a big game. Consistently, he has not been the same guy that you saw for the first 2.5 months of the season. He had a hamstring issue, injury. It appears that may have been impacting him and may still be impacting him. He has not quite been as explosive and as consistent. You also have to factor in two big pieces from their second unit and what made them so deadly with spreading the floor with five shooters. Miles Turner can shoot. Tyrese Halliburton can shoot. But two of those components are gone. I know the Bucks did not see Pascal Siakam, but that wasn't their issue, right? You have Giannis that you can throw out there. You're more equipped to defend a Pascal Siakam than you are on the perimeter, as we've seen this season. Benedict Mathurin is out for the season. Buddy Hield is in Philadelphia, traded at the trade deadline. Those were two big pieces in terms of the Pacers shooting. So long story short, I think you'd be fine despite winning just one out of your five regular season matchups. I think you would be fine with the Indiana Pacers. And if given the chance to have to choose, I think you would be fine with the Miami Heat. It's the Philadelphia 76ers that, to me, present the biggest challenge, and it's even bigger, knowing the elephant in the room, and that is we do not know the status of Giannis. We know he's not going to play Sunday. We know Doc Rivers has said, I'm hopeful. Right? We're happy that it's not the worst-case scenario. The worst-case scenario is an Achilles injury. We're hopeful that we're going to have him. That does not mean you're going to have him for game one. That does not mean you're going to have him available in the first round. It means they have not ruled out Giannis returning during the playoffs. Now, there were some interesting things that came out on Zach Lowe's podcast earlier today from Jeff Stotts, who runs In Straight Clothes, that examines injuries, a history of injuries, how they relate to one another, what to expect, what is the usual timeline and recovery period for injuries. Again, we'll preface with nobody knows other than the Bucks medical staff and Giannis. But Jeff Stotts had some very interesting and I suppose encouraging things to say about that issue that Giannis is facing. So we will get to that, but also touch on Sunday, because I think the knee-jerk reaction is to say, well, just lose. Just punt the game. If you lose, you're in a good spot. Because there's so many moving parts, and the Bucks have been in similar spots before, but not with these many teams that have so much that is still to be determined. So we'll run through those scenarios and why it's not as simple as just let Orlando beat you. You still could end up with what you feared if that's the case. 800-990-3776, the number to join us tonight on Bucks Talk. The scenarios and the encouraging news from Jeff Stotts. We'll get to that after this on Bucks Talk.
We know we'll be between 2 and 4. We do know that. That's certainty. You know, other than that, we don't know anything. We have one more game. If we win, we know where we're at. If we don't, we could be 2, 3, or 4. You know, so the good news is no matter what, we'll be at home for game one. That we do know. You know, if we're 2, we have to wait for our find out. If we're 3 and 4, at least we can have 4 practices knowing who our opponent is. You know, so there's a lot of scenarios that are good there.
There's a lot of scenarios, period. As Doc Rivers just went through kind of the mindset for this team moving into the postseason. Again, you did not solve the equation tonight. We don't know the Bucks seed. We knew after that win against the Magic, they could finish no lower than 4th. And that remains. You did not get help last night. You thought that may come with the New York Knicks in Boston against the Celtics, a place where the Celtics had only lost 3 times. And the Knicks beat them. Not only beat them, did so handily. You thought, okay, maybe tonight it's night 2 of a back-to-back. I know it's the Brooklyn Nets, but you always see these types of scenarios. Team that's out of it that has, quote-unquote, nothing to play for. Winning a game against a good team. We see it every year. You didn't get that help. You got it early. The Nets led by double figures, but the Knicks came back. Another big Jalen Brunson game. And the Knicks win to keep that pressure on you, to remain tied. And you thought you might get some help from the Cleveland Cavaliers. I suppose from the Indiana Pacers, who were playing the Cavaliers, and it was an important game for the Pacers, because had the Pacers won, it would have sealed the 76ers in the 7th seed, or in that 7-8 line. It would have clinched a top 6 seed for the Pacers. And you did not do that. Pacers started to come back before ultimately losing. So nothing is settled. We still have a scenario in play where we could have a 3-way tie between the Bucks, the Knicks, and the Cavaliers. And I have to double-check and confirm this, but I believe in that event, the Cavaliers would be the 2 seed. They would definitely be the 2 seed because the Cavs would win the tiebreaker over the Bucks as the divisional winner. The Knicks would also be your divisional winner. Or excuse me, no, the Knicks would not be the divisional winner. So the Cavaliers would have the division against the Bucks. They would get the 2 seed. The Bucks would have the head-to-head over the Knicks. They would get the 3 seed. The Knicks would be the 4 seed. So that is what you would get in the event of a 3-way tie. The ways to get a 3-way tie, it's just one. The Bucks and Knicks both lose. The Cavaliers win. And so that brings us to the how do you approach Sunday. I don't know that we got a clear answer from Doc Rivers. We heard kind of both sides of it. So here's what we have on Sunday. The Cavaliers host the Charlotte Hornets. I'm guessing the Cavaliers are going to win that game. The Hornets clearly have nothing to play for. If you're the Cavs, I know there's the threat of Joel Embiid and the 76ers, but the Cavs are a healthy team. They've just gotten their pieces back. That's what's kind of changed the equation for the Bucks. Cavs have gotten all their guys back now. And what I said before about, look, you're going to have the mindset and the approach of we've got to beat Boston. You got to go through Boston at some point in the postseason. It doesn't mean you want to do it early. And if you're the Cavs, if you win on Sunday, it increases the likelihood that you don't finish fourth and you don't have to worry about potentially the Boston Celtics in the second round. The New York Knicks host the Chicago Bulls. It's the third time in the last 5 games that the Knicks have played the Bulls, by the way. The Bulls have nothing to play for. They are the 9 seed. And I shouldn't say nothing to play for. There is that mindset of, you want to go into the postseason on a good note, and especially when you're in 7, 8, 9, 10, and you know, hey, we don't have a week-long layoff. We're playing again in 2 days. So I am going to be curious to see that version of the Bulls that come out, but that's a game the Knicks should win. And the Bucks have the Orlando Magic. So the interesting part is this. The 76ers have a home game against the Brooklyn Nets. If you're Philadelphia, it's not about matchups, right? It's not about looking at, hey, we think the Bucks are going to be the 2 seed, so we'd rather be the 7 seed because we know Giannis is injured. You don't want to be the you don't want to be the 7 seed. You don't want to be in the play-in tournament because of the possibility of not making the playoffs. You know, it's obviously preferable to be on that 7-8 line versus the 9-10 for the obvious reasons. You don't have any margin for error in the 9-10. You lose that game, you're eliminated. You win, great. You got to win again. What if Joel Embiid has a bad game? What if you have a cold night as a team? And you lose that 7-8 matchup. And then it comes down to, okay, now we have to win. So you want to avoid that play-in tournament at all costs. And it presents this interesting scenario. If you approach this and say, we think Philadelphia is going to be the 7 seed. And look, if we win, Philadelphia is likely going to be that 7 seed. Or excuse me, if we lose, Philadelphia is going to be the 7 seed. How do you approach that? Do you rest your guys? Do you take it easy in that game knowing if we give the Magic the win, that means Philadelphia is going to be locked into 7. The only way we can get 2 is if the Knicks and the Cavaliers also lose. And again, as we just went through with those opponents, pretty favorable draw. I suppose you could do scoreboard watching, if you will, if you're either of those teams and see, well, wait a minute, the Bucks are also losing? Let's do the same. We don't want the 76ers. We don't want the possibility of the 76ers or the Miami Heat. We should do the same. That definitely exists. If you win that game, you know you're the 2 seed. You know it opens the door for Philadelphia to get out of the play-in tournament. And you know it would give you home court advantage not only in the first round, in the second round as well. Maybe that's the Knicks. Maybe that's the Cavaliers that get the 3 seed. Maybe it's the 76ers, because winning that game, beating the Orlando Magic, again, means with that Magic loss, if Philadelphia wins, they are the 6th seed. And you would be looking at Orlando or Indiana versus Miami in the play-in tournament. Then it starts to get interesting. to me, you control what you can control. Health is the most important part, especially with that unknown of Giannis. And you don't know, again, for as much as we've heard, it's encouraging. We feel like we're going to have him. It wasn't worst case scenario. It wasn't Achilles. That still does not mean that Giannis is going to be there next Saturday or Sunday, whenever it is that you open up the postseason at home. Doesn't mean he's going to be there at all in the first round or the second round. We just don't know, and that's what makes it all the more difficult. And to me, that's what makes it all the more imperative to put yourself in the best position possible. And I still think that means beating the Magic on Sunday and assuming, and I know the danger of assuming, but beating the Magic on Sunday and assuming Philadelphia also wins their final game against the Brooklyn Nets, and you don't have to worry about it. You may have to worry about Eric Spoelstra, Jimmy Butler, and the Miami Heat. But you don't have to worry about the hottest team in the league, who, again, was playing like a 2 or a 3 seed when the arguable league MVP was healthy. And now, by the way, he's back and looks like that same guy again. 800-990-3776, the number to join us on Bucks Talk. I mentioned Giannis. I mentioned the injury. I mentioned the unknowns there. I did say there was more relatively encouraging things, some interesting things that came out of a conversation Zach Lowe had on his podcast with Jeff Stotts. We'll give you the specifics on that after this on Bucks Talk.
You're listening to Bucks Talk.
Another three ball. Middleton knocks another one down from the near wing. Cash Money Middleton has been just that here to start things in the third quarter. He is responsible now for already 7 points in the opening 2 minutes.
Chris Middleton, again, that's another one of the positives heading into the postseason. Chris has looked very, very good on offense. He has been as smooth and as consistent as ever, and he's going to be huge because, as we've noted several times, this is a team that is going to win an offensive game. And Doc Rivers has talked about it. The Bucks aren't going to run past you. Right? We're going to be the more physical team, but they're going to have to win with their offense. That was the big shift. Making that trade, shipping out Drew Holiday, bringing in Damian Lillard, it was done to juice your half-court offense and say it wasn't good enough the last 5 years. We got to get it there. Speaking of other potentially reasons for optimism, positive pieces of news, the Giannis injury. Let's just put out there everything we know. We know left leg, there have been, I hesitate to say issues, but Giannis has been on the injury report for items in that left leg all throughout the season. There was an Achilles tendonitis, right? There was hamstring. Now it's a calf strain. I know a lot of us rush to the ultimate fear and assumption that that's an Achilles. I did it. It was hard not to think. That's what we were looking at when you saw Giannis go down. As we learned, it's not. That's the good part, right? That it's not. He's definitely lost for this season. Next season is at least compromised, if not wiped out as well. But I think a lot of us also kind of jumped on the, well, I don't know about this, because the soleus, right? Who had heard of a soleus before the other night? Everybody immediately went to Google and what is a soleus? What does that mean? And you learned, okay, it's part of the hamstring. It's one of the muscles that make up the calf. One of the muscles that make up the calf. That's what your soleus is. And then as we learned, well, Damian Lillard had a soleus strain a couple of years ago, and he said it was about a 2 to 3 week issue for him. Kevin Durant did too. And Kevin Durant suffered his, I believe, late in the season or early in that postseason run. I can't remember when that was, but that was in 2019, the year the Bucks reached the Eastern Conference Finals and lost to the Toronto Raptors. Kevin Durant came back, and you could argue came back too early, and ended up rupturing his Achilles in the finals, in Game 5 of that series. And there was a lot of fear there of, well, I don't want Giannis to come back if that's going to be the case. I mentioned Jeff Stotts. He was on Zach Lowe's podcast today. He runs In Street Clothes. It is a Twitter handle that tracks injuries. He's put together a database of all the injuries that pop up on injury reports, amount of time guys miss, what's the average timeline for this injury, what to expect, etc., etc. And he was asked specifically about that, about is it concerning Giannis' soleus? Is it concerning that he could suffer an Achilles injury? And as Jeff Stotts pointed out, and if you go to his site too, by the way, instreetclothes.com, he has a diagram of what the soleus is, a write-up on here's what it means, here's how long it takes. He was very optimistic. And again, the caveat is not a doctor, not a doctor treating Giannis. We don't know the degree and severity of this strain. But he was very optimistic and said, look, it's not as simple as that. It's not as simple as it happened to this guy, so it could happen to that guy. Damian Lillard's timeout was 7 games, 15 days. Luka Doncic, not necessarily the soleus, but Luka Doncic has had a calf strain a couple of times. Same thing. One of them occurred in the playoffs where he missed the first 2 games, 3 games of a series against the Utah Jazz in Jalen Brunson's final year with the Mavericks. He came back. And that was the mindset of Jeff Stotts of, look, I don't think if this is exactly what the team is presenting, I don't think it should be any reason for concern that he is done for the season. On average, calf strains, as his numbers pointed to, result in an average time lost of 13.7 days. Let's just say it's 14, right in the middle of that number and what Damian Lillard missed. That would be maybe 1 or 2 games in the first round. When you factor in it happened in the middle of the week last week, you got a week off next week before you start either Saturday or Sunday. If that is the case, you miss part of the first round series. I think you can live with that, especially if you're not going up against Joel Embiid and the 76ers. We'll wrap up the show after this on Bucks Talk.
Chris comes to a stop. Left wing, dribbling with a right hand now as he crosses over. Zips the pass to Lopez. High, arcing three. Got it. Brook Lopez knocks down his first three-pointer of the night. He's got 13 here in the first half now.
Yeah, big game from Chris Middleton, but this shorthanded Bucks team comes up short in Oklahoma City, losing to the Thunder. So again, here's what we know. The Bucks will be second, third, or fourth. They will play either the Orlando Magic, the Indiana Pacers, the Philadelphia 76ers, or the Miami Heat in the first round of the playoffs. And there are a number of scenarios in play for where they could finish. I think the most likely outcome and where the most scenarios exist is probably third. The scenario you know, there are two in play here to keep an eye on. If all three teams lose, you're the two seed. If you win, you're the two seed. And perhaps more importantly, if you win, you're not only the two seed and the Central Division champions for a sixth straight year, but you also put the Magic in a position where they could be in the play-in tournament and increase the chances of the 76ers getting out of the play-in tournament. Sunday, we will know for sure. Sometime around 2:30, we will know where the Bucks have finished and who they are playing in the first round, or potentially one of two teams that they are playing in the first round. Sunday in Orlando, the regular season comes to an end. A noon tip-off, 11:30 is when our pregame coverage begins. And as always, be sure to stick around after the game for Bucks Talk. We will talk to you then.